You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, and Blaze coming at you live as the Avs beat the Blackhawks 2-0 to make it 16 in a row on home ice. Really starting to get up there with some of the all-time numbers for a home winning streak. This game never really felt that bad. The Avs didn't play amazing by any stretch of the imagination, but they got up 1-0 in the second period, and it kind of felt like they just got the job done.
Yeah. It's really what this was. Yeah. It took care of business. It wasn't pretty. Wasn't a turbo dunk. Wasn't amazing. Wasn't a sparkling performance by anybody, really. It's just kind of workmanlike, doing just enough to get across the finish line, and that's fine.
It's weird. Their MO has kind of changed throughout the year. Now it's just like business as usual, back down to a normal scoring type of game.
Catch the dubs and get out of town.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easy, I guess. Look, given the Avs' run that they've been on, not just at home, but now it's what, 12-0-1 in their last 13. What do you say about a team like that? They're finding ways to win every single night. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's easy, but they show up and they get the job done. This is what great teams do, is they win hockey games, and the Avs are winning pretty much all of them. So it's really hard to fault much on Colorado right now. It went big picture. Yes, if you go play by play, of course you're going to have issues with things here and there in the game, but...
Yeah, a little too loosey-goosey early on defensively, and then they tightened up as it went along. Like, Chicago's getting shots.
But the danger is,
And really, they didn't generate that much. Like, you look at the I thought the last 4 minutes when they were messing around with the empty net, I thought that was really indicative of, like, how the Avs kind of locked it down defensively, because... There was lots of puck movement. There was lots of possession. There was a lot of cycling. But the Avs were like, you know where the puck isn't when it's in the corner over and over and over?
In the slot.
Yeah, or the back of the net. Like, it's not in a particularly dangerous area, even if it's Patrick Kane that has it down there. You're kind of just like, we'll live with this. And they kept just being perfectly comfortable with watching Chicago just cycle it and cycle it and cycle it. And then... they would try and make a dangerous play, and the Avs would disrupt it and then clear the puck out. And it was like,
okay,
alrighty, we're going to do this for the next period and a half.
Which was really different from the first period. I mean, the Avs gave up a lot of odd man rushes. But again, there was no real high danger scoring chances that were coming off of it, because the D that was coming back was making the right play. Or Chicago was just... flubbing the play, basically.
I talked about this the other night a little bit when the Avs got outshot pretty heavily by the Kings, too. But for all the puck skill on this team, I don't think enough people are talking about how good the Avs' sticks are defensively.
Yeah, they're really disruptive.
They don't let anything through clean a lot of nights. So it's not easy for – even with odd man rushes. Yeah. In the first period, you saw a great – Sam Girard just puts a stick down.
Yeah, the aerial one, yeah.
Says, nope. Tough to beat teams when they can just do that. When they can get away with mistakes because they have the ability, they can rely on their players to make the play that needs to get made.
Right.
Yeah. High danger chances tied 11-11.
For a game that the Avs led the majority of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And nine of those came in the first two periods for the Blackhawks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they had two through
and then 25-22 in scoring chances.
Sure.
And only four of those came in the third period. Yeah, and that's at 5v5. So.
Right.
All situations probably a little bit different because the empty net stuff at the end.
Yeah, you gotta love to see that, though, right? In the third period, just locking it down after, you know, putting up a goal, you lock it down.
You're not generating tons on offense anymore, but they aren't either, and you're just like, okay, well, now we're playing the exact kind of really low event hockey that consistently closes playoff games.
Yep.
Now, it's easy to do against a team like Chicago. They're not playing for anything. They're not really any good. There isn't a lot of respect to be had for a win like that. And there's not a whole lot translatable when you're talking about postseason performance. Sure. But the mentality is great. The approach works. It's fine. You'd love to see them like comfortably win one of these.
Mm-hmm.
But this never, once they made it 1-0 and you were no longer susceptible to like, goofy bounce gonna beat you, and like Flurry doing something weird. Right. Like you didn't really feel like this game was ever in danger anymore.
Yep.
I never felt like Frankie played really, really well. And kudos to him, two shutouts in a row.
We'll talk about him. Yeah.
But like he does his job right, and he doesn't make his job harder.
Yep.
By making any glaring mistakes, he doesn't create problems for himself, and he doesn't leave the door open for them to do anything to him. He just takes care of business and is like, okay, well, if you guys are going to beat me, you're going to have to do something better.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have to, you know, their best scoring chance, he fires a puck through the crease. And it was like, well, you have to finish. Like, you've got to be better than that. Chicago just wasn't.
Yeah. So, are the Avs the Dom now?
We
know they like being choked.
I mean,
do they like choking?
They don't seem to get up on it quite as much. Yeah. Otherwise, because I think if they liked, if they were a little more into inflicting pain, they would stop being so goddamn cute with the empty net.
True.
And just drop the hammer and be like, leave no doubt, right? And instead, they were kind of just like, come on, come back on us. Make me feel something. I want to feel alive.
Rantanen with his little shimmy, shimmy, shimmy shot.
I don't want to score. I want to shoot it into somebody's body. All right? I want you to make you feel pain.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course it's DeBrincat, right?
The most hated player like from the Avs side.
This like subplot of the Avs can't stand Alex DeBrincat continues. It's like Rantanen knew DeBrincat was going to try and block that shot, so he waited for him to get in front of the net, fired one right into him to give him the extra bruise.
But why not just take the clapper? If he's going to do that, you know what I mean?
Accuracy like, purposes. He wanted to make sure he got him.
That's 6x4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure he got him. That's what we'll go with.
Definitely the correct answer, for sure. Look, a lot of players had really good nights tonight. Let's start there. Sam Girard, for the third or fourth game in a row, the dude, a guy that I think has underperformed for quite a good stretch of this season, he's not underperforming anymore. Girard on both ends of the puck tonight was just balling.
Dude, he looks so good. There was that little play that he made behind the net with like 4 minutes to go. It's the exact kind of underrated Sam Girard thing that all of the people who are like, yeah, but he can't play a physical game. And he's got a guy draped all over him. And he's carrying the puck out of behind his own net and a little drop pass to a teammate, and it kickstarts a breakaway, a breakout the other way. Clean, too. Perfectly clean. And it's just like little stuff like that from Sam Girard where you're just like, is he as good as Devon Taves and Kyle McCarr? No. But is he closer to their skill level than
Jack Johnson?
Say a Jack Johnson?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. And that's your third best defenseman on this team.
Water coming out here?
I was a little parched.
I would love some, actually.
A little parched.
Well, Blaze did hit two of his three bets, so he has some money to spend.
We were rooting hard for the last one.
We were trying to get him that third one.
Yeah, so we were rooting hard for the third one.
Rudo had a bet, too. There were some like conflicting things going on at the end of the
game. My bet ended up paying, so I can't complain.
We were really pulling for like... Just leave Flower in. Yeah. We just need one extended offensive sequence. Yes.
Didn't
happen.
Then
you can pull him and it'll be fine.
2 for 3, though. Not bad. I'll live with that.
You're always making money if you go 2 for 3. So should be a fun one coming up against Boston, too. But we'll get there at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Who is your best forward for the Avs in this hockey game? Oh, thank you. I didn't even ask for one.
That's service. Thank you.
The danger with giving it to Rudo, though, is that he might have to pee in 9 seconds.
True. Look, I didn't even – given all the shows we recorded earlier, I stopped drinking and halfway through the second period. I was like, I better cut it off now or I'll be peeing a bunch. So, anyway, best forward of the night, who? Kadri gets the goal, but either of you have an answer to this?
Best forward of the night?
Yes, for the Avs.
Mikko Rantanen.
I am under attack.
AJ just didn't want to say it.
I don't know. I think I probably would give it to Kadri.
Okay.
It's interesting now that his line mates are kind of coming back to earth a little bit to see... The separation
he
is still there.
Kind of just keeps going.
Yeah.
Because he just keeps driving that line, even though his point production is coming down. It's funny when you score a point per game and your production goes down because you were at a point and a half.
Brutal to keep that up.
No, but I love Kadri's intensity that he's playing with right now.
He was finishing his
and
checks tonight
the
for
consistency,
sure.
Yeah. Like he was happy to play a little bit of a rougher game, but he's so much, we've never seen him play a rough game this effectively and this intelligently because he's always gotten himself out of control.
He's been like, a red miss player for most of his career.
You really do wonder if like this last suspension, did it finally get him locked into the perfect zone of
playing
what
on
I can
edge,
do
yeah.
because
yeah.
what we're not seeing this year that we've seen his whole career. It's just the undisciplined
retaliatory
penalties.
Nonsense, like,
where he just hits somebody because he just wants to. And we're not seeing any of that. We're not seeing him give them any reason to go after him because he knows they're looking for him. He knows this.
Yep.
It was never more obvious in that St. Louis game where he got an unsportsmanlike conduct for skating in the vicinity of Jordan Binnington.
Right.
And after the game, he's like, I guess I'm getting penalties for talking now. So he understands like where he is in their eyes. And he's driving that line. And like I've really have come to love Val Nichushkin every night.
He was a defensive monster again tonight.
He was everywhere tonight. Yeah. Even in the offensive zone, too. He was making
waves. Really close when you asked best forward. And Val was the second guy I had in mind. And with Burakovsky, like... I am disappointed, obviously, in the result, but I think the tryhard is there.
Yeah.
The one incident where you're just like, just shoot,
yeah, that pass from
God.
The middle of the ice,
just shoot. But I'm looking more and more at this, and I'm wondering if you do make like the big deadline thing, if it involves a guy like a Berkey instead, because you're not sure you're going to be able to keep him
to fill that spot with a better role, better player for the role.
Yeah,
well,
a guy that's signed and you're not going to lose, and then you have your excuse to sign Val, and then whatever,
some
but
50 point player that's your second line for the foreseeable future,
or like 34 year old Claude Giroux, where you're like, well, we'd rather give him a 3-year deal than Berkey a 6,
and
right?
Just hope you
but
get
do
the best
worry
out
about
of
the
him.
Chemistry about that, like because we've seen other people fill in right as that line has kind of had some injuries, some COVID issues.
I don't, honestly, because I just don't think that, like, I think Burakovsky is such a singular, like, so much of his success and failure as a result of just what day it is, you know, what cycle of the moon it is for him. You know, like, is Mercury in retrograde? Yeah. Well, then Berkey rolls tonight, you know, like, what card he pulled in tarot that morning. Like, it's so much of his success and failure seems to be Berkey related.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter where he goes that I'm not overly concerned about it. But I do think that with Kadri playing at this level, that Val just fills in so many little gaps there.
Yeah.
That, and we see kind of the same thing with LOC and New Hook on the third line.
Yeah.
It's just that you run into a certain talent problem there, yeah, where you're consistently running into a, we can't finish what we're starting here.
Does a custom hockey tarot card set exist out there?
You said no, that, but the Nuggets made ones at the beginning.
We need one because I want to pull.
Alec Wins was so cool.
Yeah,
I really want to pull a card like the Seven of Snipes. That's all. That's all I really want to do.
Maybe that's our off-season project.
This is.
I feel like we are speaking Megan's language. Big
probably,
time here.
Yeah,
and she can help us. She can really drive
that
would
the be bus. Awesome. Make them for sale.
Yeah, like that would be cool.
I'm here for that. All right, we are brought to you all by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down here at the DNVR bar, or you can get it at your local liquor store. They also have their Good Company hard seltzers. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. They're delicious beers. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, since I joined DNVR, I've been drinking Avalanche Breck Brews for. That's just my beer now.
Crushes Breckenridge beers.
Yeah, they're just easy to drink. I don't know what to tell you.
Homeboy walks into the bar, and the bartenders just know.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell them. They're like, hey, Rudo, you want a beer? They know which one I'm getting. Yeah. Like, I just say, yep.
After he had his wisdom teeth pulled, it was just weird.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Had to not drink for a minute there.
We broke the habit of winter shots to the point where now we just don't even do them.
Yep. Oh my goodness, we would be drunks by now, both.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, even then, that's all we do. But like the other day, we got those winter shots with Megan, and yeah. I was a little woozy after. I was like, it's been a long time since I've had some alcohol.
Not in the rep. That it was a good drink, but it didn't have to be like 2 shots worth of drink.
Sure, it does.
It was great. It was a great experience.
You can also, speaking of wisdom teeth, go to Green Mountain Dental Group to get all your dental needs taken care of. We schedule a cleaning, X-ray, and exam with them. You get a free Sonicare toothbrush. So jump on that. Make sure you're taking care of your teeth at home, so your teeth don't end up like mine did until I got them taken care of. But now they're nice and pretty. See. I don't think you can see, but that's okay. Go to Green Mountain Dental Group. They're great at what they do. Just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood. And right now, great time to sign up for DNVR membership. Not just Avalanche, but the whole dang thing. Nuggets are finally starting to get healthy. You can get all the scoops on whoever the Denver Broncos.
Since when?
I mean, allegedly in the next couple weeks, they're supposed to be getting healthy. But
yeah, okay. Like March.
Yeah. Oh, is it that long? I thought like they had some of them. Yeah, that's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but February is so short that mid-February is March.
All right. 2 days shorter than a normal month. Is it a leap year? It might be 1 day shorter.
It's funny you say that because, like, logically you know that that's true, but then you get to the end of February and you're like,
so short. Yeah.
By March 3rd, you're like, is it March already? What happened?
Get the membership. You can follow the Broncos head coach. Watch. Over there, you got Zach Stevens doing a bunch of the good reporting on that. Obviously, look, the Avs may never lose again, so if for nothing else, you can go ahead and follow that storyline. What?
Did you see Andrew Mason tonight?
Stuck in that airplane? Yeah.
Just tracking the airplane, and I was like, God, I remember when we had to do this. You want to know what the greatest thing about coach security is? We don't have to do this. We don't have to throw darts and follow airplanes.
There's a plane still on the ground. It's now 7:30. It's been delayed again.
I think, actually, if I remember correctly, the Avalanche coaching search was the first one in BSN history.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we didn't know how to. We were like, "What do we do?"
That coaching search also got dropped on your head 2 weeks before.
Like we had
preseason. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that was such a messed up day.
All right. You get your DNVR membership. You get a free DNVR shirt with an annual one. A bunch of other perks, too, like joining the DNVR lounge or, of course, big beers at the bar. Did I say that already? Big beers at the bar. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
See, you being like, oh, it's only 3 days shorter. Well, it's the same way as the big beer versus the small beer at the bar.
The big beer, 6 ounces bigger,
right? But then you put them next to each other, and you're like,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of beer.
That's a lot.
Like, it's a decent amount for one beer, but then when you start to get two or three beers, you're like, that's a free beer.
Yep, you've gained an entire beer at that point.
Every third beer is basically free at that point.
Yep. So, go on, join us. You know you want to. Where are we going? All right, right. We do need to talk about Miko's game. Look, ignore what happened with the empty net for a second. Ignore that nonsense. And it did feel like he was a bit more engaged tonight. Yes, he had obviously the great goal to the backhand, but you also saw a couple of plays where he had a bit of physicality. He was working a little bit harder for the puck. Sure, maybe not 100% big man moose mode, but it was a step up from the last handful of games, I think.
Why are you both looking at me?
Because we want you to answer this one. We want you to start.
I just disagree.
You don't think he
not
was?
At all? You're giving him nothing tonight.
I'm giving him nothing.
I don't know. About
I'll
that.
Give him. I'll give him the credit. Like the
goal was
the
super
play on
nice.
The play on the goal is that's like what Mikko Rantanen is capable of, and he's one of the few guys that you trust to be able to. Like, I don't know, if pick a left-handed player, almost any other Avalanche
Alex
forward.
Alex Ovechkin.
Okay, well, he's a right-handed player.
Is he righty?
Yeah.
Oh, he is a righty. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
So, like, pick
one job, Blaze.
I screwed up.
Like I wouldn't trust Newhook to make that play, right?
Definitely
like,
not.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I would trust him to just panic and rush and whatever.
He made a pretty similar play to that on the backhand, like, a month ago.
A little bit different with spaces.
This is a long delay for an NHL backhand.
And there's nobody there, and, like, you don't ever, like, you hurry that because you're not accustomed to that kind of space. So that level of patience is a rare thing, and I think that that's the double-edged sword, is that he has that coolness to him where it just, when he gets applied to other parts of his game, that's where I get frustrated. That's where I was frustrated tonight. You just see some really lazy habits that have it's no longer creeping into his game.
It's part
it's
of
taking it
now,
it over.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's where, like, he's finding success statistically and all this stuff, right? And so it's, he can easily make the argument and be like, I'm not getting beat up every night, I'm staying healthy, I'm having easier nights, I'm still producing, what's the problem? And I could just be like, fair enough.
Yep.
Like, I have no rebuttal other than I think that you could be even better if you just fully engaged.
Yeah, that's the frustrating part, right? Like, you watch it, you see glimpses of a two-way player.
Oh, yeah.
But, like you just said, why do it when you're getting points and you're winning games?
Right,
like,
and you're winning, you're finding the success that you want. You're getting the end results that you want.
Yeah.
But you're doing it by shortcutting some things here and there that maybe make it a little easier to stay healthy and allow you to play a little safer of a game because you're not physically engaging with other giant individuals all the time. You know, like, I just think, I don't know. I realize that this is going to be an annoying, like, nitpicky hill that I die on while the Avs don't lose games. And I fully understand if somebody's like, AJ, just shut up already. Like, I hear you. But also, like, it does stand out. You want to know why the top line is kind of taking this small step back here, why they're not just dominating games anymore, why they're not putting up the points? Look at the patience with the empty net, right?
Yeah.
You get great, he's in good position, makes the right play, they give a puck right to him, and instead of just firing it into an empty net, he just dicks around with it. And again, like, getting away with it because it in no way hurts them. The third goal ended up not being necessary. It just doesn't matter. Yeah. It just doesn't. It's like the most charmed life. It just doesn't matter when he shortcuts.
Is it better to be lucky than good? Is that what you're saying?
Imagine Mikhail Maltsev making that mistake where you're just like,
Is Mikko Rantanen in the Tom Brady of the NHL? Is that what we're saying here?
Well, if that's true, then he's got six championships ahead of him.
I'm here for it.
And I won't ever say a thing. After like the second or third championship, I'll just be like, just AJ Gobert at that point. Like, it doesn't matter, man.
Pull some 1984 and just start erasing tapes from the past. AJ was always right.
I think you'll get out of AJ after the first championship, most likely. Dude. About 45 minutes after that one. This whole bar will be like that. So
he did lay a lick tonight, though.
He did.
It was a good one. Open ice hit.
Protected the puck. Laid Taves out.
Yeah, I just think that there's so much more to give that I'm still frustrated. 100%.
This is like maybe Mikko at 50% instead of 25.
But if he turns it on at the right times, right? Like, are you? Because like right now you're in the middle of the season. No, I understand it creates bad habits, right? You keep doing something consistently, you get into the habit. But
you also wonder how much of this is experience of.
It's a long
they
season.
It's a long season, and they've gone full bore before.
They know what happens.
Exactly, and they know how hard it is at the end of the year where they've expended that energy that you don't get back.
Right.
And so, I mean, I do wonder how much of this is them with the load management.
Yeah.
Not just the coaching staff with the minutes distribution, but them.
But the players taking care of their own bodies.
Exactly. Them understanding that it does not serve them to go crazy pants all out in game 38-39 if that means they're going to miss games 50-70 with an injury or whatever, or it potentially being worse than that, you know, something like that. When you're winning every night and you're in first place and you're now comfortably in first place, you're now talking about Minnesota as the team that you're worried about chasing you down, because the games in hand have made it so that Nashville and St. Louis probably are not realistic contenders for the division title for the foreseeable future.
Sure.
They're not a team that you're genuine. Those are not teams you're seriously concerned about. When you're in 6 to 8 point advantages and you have multiple games in hand, those teams don't scare you.
The Avs are a handful of games away from straight up running away with this division. Yeah. Like
it being the kind of bet that ends up being on DraftKings, where you're like, oh, pick a division winner, and then it's the Avs at negative 10,000. Because they're like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Please don't take this bet.
Exactly. Like, they're not, we're maybe 2 or 3 more weeks like this away where they just don't lose in regulation and they just keep banking points and they just keep this up. Now, I think that's optimistic despite the schedule.
For sure.
This is still the NHL.
It has to come to an end at some point.
It's still the NHL. So some of this, I am fully open to the idea that this is not necessarily bad habits creeping into it and that this is them understanding how to pace themselves. Yeah. I am open to this idea because, again, we've seen in games where they have gotten down, it comes on, and we've seen them attack, and they play that way.
They absolutely have the switch when they need it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they got down to they got down to Seattle, and it was just like the steady climb into it.
And by the end of the game, it was like, oh, the Avs dominated.
Oh, yeah, and like they walk out of there with like a comfortable victory. We were just like, okay. You know, and like they're not blowing out all these bad teams, and I think that that's causing some anxiety with people.
A little heartburn.
Which is kind of funny because it's like they haven't lost this month in regulation. And the one game, obviously, that they lost was asterisk to hell and back with the too many men. And they've won 16 home games in a row. Like they're now well on top of the division. They're now putting themselves into,
by points percentage, they are the best team in the league.
Right, and they're now putting themselves into a position where they can start to, they've caught points-wise, games in hand, none of it doesn't matter.
Yep.
They've now caught the entire NHL.
They are number one in the NHL.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They've caught the league.
Yep.
And now, like, you give them 2 or 3 more weeks of this, and they're telling Carolina and Florida and Tampa Bay, and they're like, come and get us.
Yep.
Like they're about to switch into like defending a president's trophy, which is not something we've talked about. It's not something we're going to talk about for a while. like yeah. Not for a while, yeah. Because you're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Not even halfway yet. But it is an interesting, like, because we haven't seen the top line act like this much. So it is kind of odd, and it's why I'm attributing a lot of it to some bad habits and laziness. But there is the possibility that it's just
they're just chilling right now.
Why? Yeah. Why go that hard? What's the difference between a 4-0 win and a 2-0 win?
True enough. True.
Between the wear and tear on the body, like, what's the difference? And it's like
Blaze's DraftKings account.
Yeah, I mean. Helped Rudo tonight. So. The difference was it helped Rudo's and it hurt Blaze's, right?
Okay. We also, though, Frankie did another one. King of the game for his second shutout in a row for him starting. And there's a Kemper game in there, but look.
This is... So they gave up one in L.A.
Yep. And then Kemper gave up two the other night.
Yeah, so you've given up three goals in
four games. Yeah.
And the other interesting thing, how many, so 24 saves. Kemper's first goal came at the 24 save mark or 23, somewhere around there. He had a stellar game before he let the first goal in.
So, not a good stretch of minutes without any goals going in.
Great goaltending. And then they gave up, what, three to the Wild?
Yes.
Yeah, three to the Wild, and then before that was Kemper's shutout. Yeah.
Yep.
And so then they gave up, I think it was two or three to Arizona. So like
it was three. It would have been three to Arizona, yeah.
So you're talking about now nine goals in your last seven in the last games. six or seven games.
Yeah.
So this is a stretch right now where the seven goals have finally stopped. We can finally be like, nailed it. But
but the goaltending, not giving them up either.
Right,
yeah.
Like the pendulum didn't swing. It's just sitting on W.
Yeah. The pendulum swung and it was also a W over here.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's right. There was no standings pendulum. It was just W to W.
Exactly.
The Avs are like, yeah, we'll flip a coin, heads or tails, and then it's just tails on both sides.
Heads you win, tails I, or heads I win, tails you lose. That's what it is, yeah. Easy.
Yeah. It's not like the NFL where games get decided on coin tosses.
God, I don't care about football at all. And I was so mad that I didn't get to see Josh Allen touch the ball in overtime.
It's so funny to me when people make the argument of, well, they had a chance on defense. And it's like, okay, well, if it's so important that defenses get a chance to make a stop, then make them both do it.
Yep.
Ooh, good point.
But apparently,
nope.
I'm the crazy one.
I had a few people that went toe-to-toe about the playoff rules.
Chiefs fans were salting out here. They were salting.
It's like... Shut up. Nobody wants to hear from you. Like, nobody ever wanted to hear from you before, but now nobody wants to hear from you for different reasons. Just shut up and enjoy your wins.
Right. You got the dub. Just take it and walk away.
We don't expect any of you to agree with anything that might rain on your precious Patrick.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thankfully, here at DNVR, we don't cut short overtimes early. We go the full length. I don't know how long an overtime would be for a pod. But if you need some coffee to keep you awake for these ridiculously long late night games, Strava Craft Coffee has you covered. Have cold brew down here at the bar. It's also got the CBD in it, so you can take care of your migraines, your joint pain, stuff like IBS, things like that. They got you covered top to bottom. So check out Strava. When you order online right now, you get 25% off to get your first one, and then 20% off when you sign up for their subscription service, basically for your entire life. You can just get nice, affordable Strava craft coffee. Also brought to you by, if CBD coffee isn't enough, just go get the real thing, the hard THC from Lightshade for you. You can jump over there. You can get 25% off there, too, when you order online with code DNVR. Get it all scheduled for pickup at one of their 11 locations in the Denver and Aurora areas. So go check them out. They've been around Denver since weed has been legal. I remember when I turned like 21 and all my buddies are like, oh, we got to go to Lightshade. White Shade's the best. And then it turns out that they are actually really good at what they do. So
that's cute. You were not 21 when weed became legal. That's cute.
I think I was a little older than 21, actually.
I remember I was working in a hotel at the time, and you remember like the night of the vote?
Yeah.
It didn't mean that you woke up the next day and it was legal. And there were people who I worked with who were like, "So I don't have to worry about passing that drug test now, right?" And it was like,
"Oh no.
What did you do?"
Jesus, yeah.
Be quiet. Anyways, I don't even want to hear that.
Baby over there.
all right. Do you want to? This is. I'm sidetracking. Here we go.
On this.
I used to walk into work downtown Denver, and I was walking in. This is after weed's been legal for a few years. Walking down the street, this guy's like, comes up to me. He's like, hey. I'm like, hey. He's like, yo, you want some of that good stuff? And I was like, what? He's like, I got that weed. And I was like, so does that place right there. And that place right there. And I'm not going to get robbed. Leave me alone.
You mean I can buy that good and I don't have to worry about doing it from a guy with a backpack?
Do I look like I'm 16? Okay.
Sorry.
No, perfect. I love it. Also, be sure to tune in Wednesday. It's the Boston game. It's a national game. TNT is your thing. Great. If you want to watch the game with at least me, maybe Blaze, maybe AJ. I don't know who else will be here that
I think
day.
I'll be here for that, yeah.
So we'll have a bunch of people rotating in for the watch-along because we're doing one. It's going to be both playback and YouTube. So if you're a DNVR folk, be sure to check the Discord. We'll have a link for you to do the playback.
We'll have playback available for you guys.
The rest of you heathens can join us on YouTube like you normally do. So hope you will come in. I know you guys have been really liking those, so we're going to try to do some more of those for you. Yeah, should be a fun one against Boston. Looking forward to it. Be sure to tune into that. Along with our pregame and postgame shows, you know, those will also be things.
Also the Goaties.
Yes.
Yes, Goaties Saturday. Come to the bar Saturday for 6
p.m.
our live Goatie event at 6 p.m.
Yeah, you don't know what that is. Come to it.
It's fun.
This is not like a Tijuana Goat show. This is like...
I'm saying...
No judgment. Don't get touchy over there. This is us doing our annual award show. If you're familiar from the last couple of years, we've nominated tons of plays and
Colorado
teams
events
and
games
athletes
and sports. Yeah.
And this year for the award show, since we're actually allowed to be around people this time, we are having a live show, a bunch of interaction with the fans. And
I think the live show mostly consists of people coming on the show and telling us why we're wrong.
Yeah. and like fans and people in the bar interacting. We've got a bunch of games. And, yeah. A bunch of stuff that it'll be cool. It'll be
and
a
then
lot
all
of fun.
The beats arguing with each other.
Yeah.
this year, I think
a lot of things are pretty clear.
I don't think it's very contentious. Last year was salty.
Yes.
Last year, the newcomer of the year actually started open hostility between myself and D-Line, where like he was just like, "You're taking this too seriously." And I was like, "There are rules to a society." And it was ridiculous.
I mean, you had valid points.
Yeah, I mean, I was correct.
You were right. Yes.
But it was pretty funny. And this year, way more of it was just a cool year in Denver sports. It was really just like a disappointing year in Denver sports where all four teams found different ways to kick everybody in the nuts. Yeah, and then when you extend it to the Rapids.
The fifth nut see? Kick is the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Really
it was you would kick right in the fifth nut. That was it. Oh, my God.
Okay. Let's get into the third period here. Let's get to some super chats.
There's a hashtag that should start trending.
What?
D-Line was wrong. Blaze is over here, master of the chaotic evil. Just
anytime I could get a little jabs
in
on there.
Everybody should just start tweeting at him right now. D-Line was wrong. He will have no idea what's going on. Nobody tell him.
Just that hashtag, and that's it.
That's right. That's right. Not the fifth night. That's Denver's goal as a city this year in sports.
Avoid the fifth night.
Not the fifth night.
Oh, so good.
Okay.
This is what the Goonies are going to be like.
Yeah, basically. All right, what do we got? Oh, Carrie with 279. Thank you very much. And my wife loves you all from DNVR. I'm assuming all of us. I'm assuming there's more to that. Another $13.99. That's a lot of money.
Wow.
What a way to keep the win streak at home going. So happy that Frankie go back to back. So glad he is back playing awesome. I love how both goalies are feeding each other. Awesome to see.
I'm telling you, I think that there's a pretty solid chance that this is next year's tandem.
Yeah.
They just lock them up.
Yeah.
Well,
run it back.
I would run back the Frankie 2x2.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know that he would.
If he wants it, I would. Yeah.
Yeah. I would offer that shit to him today.
I mean, the way he's playing, but then the injuries beforehand, like, there's a case for it. Like, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It seems like a good deal.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
5 from Sean. Thank you. Pretty sure Fleury is still looking for his jockstrap after getting undressed by Mikko.
Man, that's a tough. For a goalie, you don't ever believe that a dude is just gonna keep holding it
that long.
He's just gonna keep holding it and keep holding
to
it.
Have
like
that much time to go
is
across.
This dude ever gonna shoot? Like, you don't ever think that's gonna happen. I feel bad for Fleury on that, because like that's like me, it was awesome by Mikko.
Yeah.
But also like it goes against every instinct, everything that you've ever known about
your
goaltending.
Your full send trying to get across net.
And goalies hate backhands in general because you can't read where the hell the player is trying to put the puck.
Absolutely.
That's the advantage. Like, you can't shoot it as hard. The goalie has no idea where it's going.
Yeah, and to your point, like, gets across, sees that guy's alone, he's got to go full YOLO right away, because if he doesn't, he's
out of the net, just open.
Right, exactly. And so he doesn't think a dude is just going to be like, okay, well, he went full YOLO. Hey, look, now he's back laying on his face again. Now I'll shoot. Like, guys, just not. It just doesn't happen like that very often. So,
all right. Next, 5 from Cade. Thank you very much. Great win tonight. Do you think Newhook getting sampled on the second line with Kadri and Val will continue?
No.
Everything points toward them absolutely loving him at center, so I don't expect very much of it.
I do think that he's had some little flashes these last couple of games.
For sure.
And you can see some of the flashes are getting run into a wall.
Yep. It's like, I need more talent. Please.
Right.
That's the wall.
He's got the team, you know, LOC and Comfer and Knack. And it's like he's trying to run a 100-yard dash in a 10-yard room.
Yeah.
And you just can't. It's just not possible. So I think they're trying to put him in a 100-yard room and see if he can still keep
happens.
That pace up.
Yeah.
So I think you might see the occasional flavoring of it. But if you look at the time on ice, it's still a really small.
Yeah.
It's a small group there.
You know, I was interested in, they put them out on the PK tonight too.
I
know they've rotated everyone through that PK,
but they've also seen success since they started putting him and Kadri out there.
Yep.
Their PK has been much better.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you look at other teams. Look at Chicago's best PK tonight. Who are the forwards that were out there? Kirby Dach and Alex DeBrincat. Like, I think there's something to be said for this.
Yep.
Stop filling these specialty roles with guys who lack skills.
Let your good players be your good players.
Exactly. Give good players more ice time and more opportunity, and then work your way through there. Then figure out where your holes are beyond there, and go and find guys to fill out those last couple of jobs.
I think Newhook's going to look real good as a 2C next year. Just hope everyone can kind of understand that it's not going to be Kadri.
I feel like,
because Kadri is having a hell of a year.
Somebody asked me the other day, they tweeted at me and were like, oh, do you think that the drop-off will be big? And I was like, yes, because Kadri has produced like McKinnon.
He's like less than 10 points away from his career high.
Right. I'm like
39.
I'm like, if you're thinking that he's going to do what Kadri's doing this year, then you're going to be disappointed. But if you think about if you compare him to Kadri's career, and put that as your baseline expectation, then he's got a chance to live up to that.
Yeah.
But the drop off from what Kadri has done this year should be significant. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, come on. You're not expecting that guy to be a top five guy in the NHL. What?
Sake Sam, 500 yen. I have no idea how much money that is.
Oh, wow.
I'm assuming it's like $5.
True. I have no clue. No, there's no reference yeah. there.
All right, so like $5. Close right. enough. Thank right. you very much.
Still dope. I mean,
yeah. We've never gotten yen before on the show, so that's a new one. Is Bednar managing the lines better to avoid giving up goals at the end of the game?
So I thought about this actually while they were at the end of the game. You know what they're doing is they're playing Cale Makar.
They just sent the big dudes for most of those 4 minutes tonight.
They're specifically putting Makar out there and giving him more opportunity to become that finisher for them. And not dicking around with Jack Johnson and Eric Johnson and let my big defensive shot-blocking vets go out there. Where do the Avs have success? With skill.
Yep.
And I think that it's felt obvious all along, but it's also felt counterintuitive to long-term success in the NHL. And so the Avs have been, and Bednar has been trying to do it a certain way. Because that's how it's always been done. How do you succeed in the NHL? You got to do these things. All right, so they've been trying really hard to check those boxes. They get a Curtis McDermott. They get a tough guy, right? They get beefier. They get more physical. They do all this stuff to check more traditional boxes. But where they're finding some of their success right now anyway is that they're extending their skill guys. We talk about it on the PK. It's also the same thing at the end of games. Some of that success that teams have had is because the Avs bench some of their guys to play some of the scrubs because it fits a traditional mold. And instead, they're putting the more skilled guys out there. The skill's flexing a little bit. They're finding a certain level of success. It's kind of counterintuitive to traditional thinking, but it's coaching to what you have.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that, too, is like I consume a lot of other podcasts and media just from other markets, right? Other teams. And that whole narrative last year that the Avs weren't tough to play against, that they were soft, right? That you could just bully them around. That's not the case this year. And it's not because of the big guys. It's because of the skilled players and the way that they're playing, the physical game that they bring. I mean, they are like, look, you've got Curtis back there that will knock your block off if you mess with the talent. But also, you've got Cale Makar that will knock your block off, too, with a hit.
Gabe Landeskog set the tone.
Yeah.
Game one.
Immediately at the start of the year when he just pissed in everybody's Cheerios that got near him.
Yeah.
For like 3 weeks, like the guy got suspended. He fought multiple times. Like he just, anybody that got within any length of distance that is not very large of upsetting him, he flipped out on because he was setting the tone.
Yep.
And he was telling the locker room, we're not taking shit. And the Avs have gotten in trouble this year because instead of turning the other cheek, I was shocked at the end of that game after Landeskog put that puck into the empty net after the whistle.
That there was nothing called there.
And like Dylan Strome thinks he's going to step to Nathan MacKinnon, that Nathan MacKinnon just walked away.
Yeah.
Because he's like, look, I'm not putting us in penalty trouble here in the last 2 minutes of this game. We're getting out of here. That was maturity.
Yep.
But some of the other times this year, the Avs have just decided,
we're
sending this message that we're not putting up with that. Even if it gets us in trouble, even if we have to kill a penalty, even if we lose a guy for a little bit, whatever the consequences be, we're sending the message that this shit is done.
Yep.
And you can see it. There's an edge this year that hasn't existed in past years.
Yeah, they've changed it. It's not just you're either tough or skilled. It's both.
Right. Well, and now it's not like you're going to confuse them with the Broad Street Bullies or anything.
No,
they're not going
out
picking fights, and they're not doing all kinds of crazy shit. But, like, there's a certain edge there that it absolutely exists.
All right. 5 from Chris. Thank you very much. Back-to-back shutties for Frankie. I'd say he's found his groove. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. People always think that, like, oh, he found his groove when he's playing at his best. Like, this could be like the high watermark of the guy's NHL career. And it's like, that's not his groove. But you look at his starts this year.
Yep. They're all pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of, I would say, I give him a free pass for the first one.
Right, yeah.
Because it was one,
with
unscheduled.
Context. Yeah.
And two, like, didn't have an NHL team in front of him.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it wasn't great. But then has gotten that rhythm. Looks like Frankie.
Yep.
He's been swallowing pucks like I swallow carnitas burritos.
Oh, my God.
Just had to sneak
it in. Just like the East Coast is going to swallow the Panthers in the playoffs.
No.
Five from Real Politic. At some point, can we discuss Lombardi's drinking the melted ice during the pregame show? That is next level bad food take stuff. We don't watch the pregame show.
No, we saw it today.
We saw it today.
Yeah, he straight up like took like a cup and like scooped up the ice and drank it.
Like from the Zam?
Yeah, it was from the ice. From the ice. It was disgusting.
Ugh.
He was like, after they warmed up. Yeah, like it was, I don't know when they filmed it, but yeah, it was sometime during pregame stuff.
Because dudes spit all the time when they're playing.
It was gross. It was gross. Like I watched it and I was like, and he said something. He was like, oh, the water's fine down here, boys. And it was like,
well, okay. Good luck in COVID protocol.
it was just awkward. Just awkward.
Yeah.
Look, I dump water on my head all the time. I can't talk any bad about anything Lombardi.
But it's not from the ice.
Maybe it should be. Right? I don't know. Anyway.
Altitude's been pretty interesting this year.
Yeah, they've been a little all over the place. Yeah. $5 from Billy. Miko with another goal after not playing that well. Have Mac and Rance ever played together? They have been out of sync since they boat raced the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just go through this. Like Draisaitl and McDavid went through a stretch too. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
Well, somebody's got to on that line. Got to put the puck in the back of the net, which they are doing, but not at the clip that you want to see them do.
Yeah.
That.
Well, and I think more than anything is that it just feels harder than normal.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just Migo. I think it's Landy too, because you've seen the last couple of games. MacKinnon is zipping around playing like a madman, and those two are kind of just meandering through life right now, and it's fine, they're getting away with it. But
you remember the scene in Bull Durham where the Crash Davis is like, they're kids, like you have to treat them like kids,
they are children.
And so he's like, the manager's like, oh right. And so he throws the bats into the shower. They're lollygagging. Like, that's how I feel watching the top line every night, except Nathan MacKinnon. Like, Nathan MacKinnon's just like, he's like Crash Davis, right? And then the rest of them are lollygagging.
AJ's sitting there giving him the middle finger to throw the fastball right now.
That's right. Like. That's right.
Okay, $20 super sticker. That is extremely generous, Zach. Thank you very much.
It's a hell of a super sticker.
Sheba dog in samurai armor holding a golden trophy.
Thank you again. And another five from Real Politic. It looks like you got a comment to go with it here. It's clear Dermy is feeling it. More shots, okay, I guess. And pinches, not so much. How do you feel about his play? It seems he's gotten better over the course of the season. Well, I know Blaze was begging him to toe drag tonight. So
I mean, really what he should have done is pass that puck because there was a guy streaking on the other side. Well. But... yeah, I mean, don't shoot it into the guy's pads, especially when you're coming on off your off side wing there. You can toe drag and then shoot.
There you go.
I don't feel great about his play because he gets worked defensively.
Yeah, the defensive side is still terrifying.
I like him at forward just to be that little like.
Yeah, I much prefer Mikhail Maltsev there, but it's How are you gonna dog on a decision when they're not losing?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
Good point.
I don't know what to tell you beyond. You know?
And they're not causing like McDermott's not causing active problems.
Right. They're fine. It doesn't look very fun, but fine.
I'm not putting him into a playoff game. I don't care what position it is, but all this other toughness stuff is fun for now. Like it's fine. I don't know. I think fundamentally I'm always just going to have a problem with it.
Yeah. At a base level, you can put a better hockey player on the ice, full stop. But also, the Avs are 12-0-1 in their last 13 hockey games, so what the hell do I know?
You're
not messing with the lineup.
Do whatever you're doing, because it's clearly working.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. This team doesn't lose. They have one overtime loss in this calendar year, chat. And yeah, they got 12 wins. I don't know. Those, that 12 goes back to... No, I guess their last one was the Nashville game.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's this year.
That's this
man.
Whole year.
Yeah. They are now tied for the winningest month in franchise history.
So they hit four games.
And they've got three games left to go, I believe.
To win one, to own that.
Yeah. I mean, it would be... How awesome would it be to just not lose? Be like, okay, well... We don't ever have to hear about the January swoon again because that one January where they just decided not to lose games.
They've got a tough test coming up.
Yeah, Boston should be a fun game. Looking forward to it.
No? Feel differently about that?
Boston.
The Avs are very good against Boston. Also.
Well, and more than, look this up the other more than that, I think that because Boston's big line is coming in, obviously, Marchand is not, but Boston's big line is coming in. It's going to wake up Colorado's big line. Mm. And I think it's going to bring, out that they need to get choked. I think it's going to bring out that competitiveness. I also, again, like they're a sleeping giant right now.
Yeah.
They're like a sleeping giant with sleep apnea, right? Like, and tonight they woke themselves up just long enough to get the goals that they needed and then went back to sleep.
What an analogy.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. A sleeping giant.
I think they're going to come in and they're going to push them in a way that they, you know, like we saw what Minnesota came in and pushed them and they responded to that. I want to see that. I want to see them get pushed. I don't want to see them down 3-0 or anything, but like I want to see them get pushed. I want, because they are playing this string of not great teams, this complacency, this going 70% and still getting wins bullshit can get you through it with those teams.
Yep.
But
you still have to show you can turn it up when you need to.
Exactly. And I want to see that, because then they truly are in cruise control.
If they
because then they get
switch,
Chicago, Buffalo, and Arizona, and then you're free for 2 weeks.
Yep.
So like that's it. Like it's almost like senioritis has kicked in for them a little, where they're succeeding at such a high level. They've done so much good work that they know that they could lose at this point. But I do, and like they could lose and it would just be like, well, how long's it been? Am I right? Yeah. Like this is still the NHL, but like,
just don't go on Twitter.
Yeah. Most of them don't. Most of them just go to Instagram.
That's
anyway.
Probably wise. Yeah.
But I do think that I think Boston has a good chance to bring out
the best in
some of the things that we are looking for.
All right. Well, I'm good. Any other final thoughts here? I think we've pretty much summed this up that it's not great, but it doesn't have to be because they won. Good.
They did what they did.
Yeah.
They did what they did. We're going to get on out of here, chat. Thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate all of y'all very, very much. We will be back tomorrow with a normal 1 p.m. show talking about probably things.
At this point, probably trade deadline.
Yeah, probably.
We don't have anything bad to talk about with the team.
Yeah. So
normally that's what we do is we pick apart, okay, well, here's the stuff that is going on in Avsland. And
yep.
Avsland has been so rinse and repeat with, well, they won again.
It's
and now that the goalies are popping off, it's like, well, they won again, and their biggest thing that everybody was losing their shit about
is good
goalies
now.
And the penalty kill. You're like,
both those things shit. Did the thing. So
all right,
the whole goalie thing too. Every year, it's just this is what happens every year.
Yeah,
beginning every of the year is crazy for all goalies.
So yeah, tune into that show Wednesday. We got the watch along, all that stuff. We hope to see you there. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.